Hello, and welcome to Puffcast, your Harry Potter happy place. This is episode 70, and it's the first episode of the new year, the year of our sweet Lord Voldemort 2023. And I am Juliana, and today I am not by myself. Mel is not here, though. She is a little bit under the weather. But I do have one of my good friends, and also one of our patrons of Puffcast, and the very beastie mama herself. It is Miss Jenna Greenwood. Welcome, Jenna.
Hello. It's really great to be here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so excited to be here. I mean, like I said, like, you're one of my friends already. And you're also one of our patrons. And one of the bonuses, people who are not patrons, is you get to be on the show at some point, which is very exciting. Honestly, Jenna, I'm just super excited to talk to you, too, because I feel like our listeners will really love the topic and the conversation that we're going to have. Your artwork, Jenna, and everything else that you have for us today. So I think this will be a nice, fun episode.
I really hope so.
So to start off the episode, we'll do like we always do. So we need your fandom ID. So if you want to give us your pronouns, house, Patronus wand, and a favorite food that is not pizza.
Is everybody's favorite food pizza? Because it is kind of a perfect food.
It hits that like salty, savory side of things. Mm-hmm. And then you can even add in like if you have the controversial pineapple on pizza, you can even add the sweet element to it. And it's like, I don't know. Pizza is just like really good.
Yes.
Ooh, boy.
And I do enjoy me a controversial pizza.
I am also in the same camp of liking pineapple on pizza. But okay, Jenna, will you let us know who you are?
Sure. I'm Jenna Greenwood, and my pronouns are she, her. I am in Hufflepuff House, although Juliana has told me that she thinks I have Slytherin tendencies, which might be true.
Yeah. Not a bad thing, though. I'm also half Slytherin, so I don't think it's a bad thing.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
My Patronus is the mongrel dog.
Now, is this your Pottermore Patronus or is this your chosen Patronus?
I actually went with the Pottermore Patronus because I went through reading like all the other dogs because all I know is it's a dog. And the mongrel dog did kind of fit best. So I went ahead and went with that.
Oh, okay. What's the quality of the mongrel dog? Do you remember?
Loyalty.
Aw. Yeah, that's perfect then. You're a Hufflepuff.
My wand is Vinewood with a unicorn hair core, 13 inches and very flexible.
Wow. Do you have your own wand made for you yet?
I don't. I have a cherry wood prop wand that I've been using.
Okay. So if anyone who's listening wants to make Jenna a wand, let us know.
I would be interested.
Okay. And favorite food that's not pizza, Jenna? This is the most controversial question out of all of them.
Well, my husband does the cooking in the house, and I am always super excited whenever he makes his chicken tortilla soup. It's amazing.
Ooh, okay. I can get behind a good, like, thick soup. That sounds really good.
So good.
Yum. But, okay, Jenna, would you like to give our listeners just, like, a brief overview into who you are and what you do, and then we'll get way more into the details in the main section of the episode?
Sure, absolutely. I'm a creature artist. I recreate creatures from fan art, sometimes like movies, TV, books, etc. But I specialize in my own personal favorite fandom, the Wizarding World.
Yeah, and you're very talented.
Thank you.
Jenna was actually featured at the Chicago at Play event that's happening right now. Her bow truckles are there. So if you've been there, you've seen her artwork.
Magic at Play, my 6 bow truckles are hidden in the maze.
Yeah, I saw multiple YouTube people show them off. It was very nice.
It was so exciting.
What we'll do now then is we will hand it over to the news. And then listeners, we will meet you on the flip side of the news. Mel may or may not be in the news. We'll see what's going on with that. And then we'll catch up with you. And then we have our full interview with Jenna after that.
Woohoo!
Woo! But, okay.
Okay, my nose is clear, I think, for the next minute or two.
Are we temporarily snot free?
Yeah. So, okay. Let's do this.
Okay. Do-do-do-do-do-do! News! Hello, listeners, and welcome to the news!
Hello!
The news! It's hello, Mel is here!
Yes, I am, as you can maybe hear, I am pretty sick, so I hope you can understand me good enough.
Yeah, I can. You sound good, Mel. You sound a little bit stuffy, but good.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, listeners, our first little bit of news is that we have the charity that we are donating to for January.
Yay!
And thank you to Jenna, who you'll hear before and after this in this episode.
Hi, Jenna.
Hello! For suggesting the International Fund for Animal Wellness, or IFAW. And it is a non-profit global organization helping animals and people thrive together. They are experts in everyday people working across seas and oceans in more than 40 countries across the world. They rescue, rehabilitate, and release animals and restore and protect their natural habitats. And we actually donated to their specifically Ukraine fund that they are doing to help provide resources to pet owners and protect the pets of people who are living through the Ukraine war right now. So getting those little animals what they need to survive, which is a good thing.
I love that so much. So thank you, Jenna, for choosing that. It's so sweet.
Yeah, it's nice for us to be able to help. And thank you also to David of Crooked Wands for helping us donate 25% of his sales this month from his Woo! Etsy shop. Yeah, go check out David at Crooked_Wands on Instagram. And he has some gorgeous wands, my friends. Like, you have not seen them. You are missing out, truly. So we actually have a few more other greater Wizarding World news items. And as some of you cinephiles might know, the awards season is underway at the beginning of the year for the movies.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, the movie was. For some reason, when I make that noise, I feel like I should be like Professor Flitwick or something. His face and like his expressions that he makes just feels like,
oh, you would need a mustache with that.
But since award season is underway, we actually have some surprising to me announcements about Fantastic Beasts: The Secrets of Dumbledore. They're actually getting some recognition at the Academy Awards, who unveiled their shortlist, which is their shorter, more condensed list of who's in the bidding for each category to win. Fantastic Beasts: The Secrets of Dumbledore was shortlisted for visual effects.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I mean, other films on that short list include Avatar, Batman, Black Panther, Doctor Strange, Jurassic World, and Top Gun. Do I think that Fantastic Beasts is going to go up against Avatar and win? Probably not.
I mean, I've not seen it as of yet, at least. But there is quite a few big movies in there that have great visuals. Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? You never know. I mean, it does look really great. So
yeah. I mean, it's nice to know that they're at least on the shortlist and they're getting some kind of recognition for that movie, because Warner Brothers has largely let that movie like slide way under the rug at this point. So it's kind of nice to have it pulled back out. And listeners, the official nomination list and the categories will be announced on January 24th. So that's in about 2 weeks. You'll be able to hear if Fantastic Beasts is actually in the running for the win for the visual effects category. So hopefully it'll make the short list. I mean, that gives it more cred. Maybe it gives it a little bit more boost to make a fourth movie. I don't know. We'll just have to see what's going on. In other connection with the Fantastic Beasts movies, we actually had a GQ interview with Eddie Redmayne, and he spoke about his role as Newt's commander and how he adores Newt and loves being, quote, in his skin. He did, though, describe the future of the series as complicated.
Yeah.
And said that the cast is often kept in the dark about the sequels and how there's a treading water quality when you have no idea if there's a resolution to a narrative character. And he did mention that Newt ends up married in Dorset, which I believe is a city or a town, to Tina.
Yes.
And he was happy about that, because he ends up happy, at least. But it does not sound like Eddie Redmayne has too much confidence in this movie moving forward.
I mean, they originally all like signed
like a five
the contracts for 5 movies. I guess they can be cancelled.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure every contract comes with a caveat, because it wouldn't be the first series of movies that just got stopped midway through.
Yeah.
So there has to be some kind of wiggle room or rewriting of a contract that they can do within the movie world, which I'm not privy to in any capacity, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting that they don't even know what's going to happen. So really no one knows if anything is continuing or not.
Yeah, I'm pretty much just like probably David Yates, and that's probably it. So
yeah.
In other Wizarding World news, a very exciting movement is happening where the exhibition, Harry Potter the Exhibition, which, listeners, currently, if you're listening to this, I have already been to the exhibition in Georgia, so stay tuned for what I thought of it, possibly on the next episode. Just maybe a few brief thoughts. And we're also going to have our friend Felix on, who works at the exhibition, to talk to us about it, which will be very fun. The exhibition in Europe is actually moving to Paris, France, so maybe Marjolaine, you would like to go see this and let us know what you think. anyone else who lives in France who I don't know. This is the same exact one that was in Vienna, and it is the international touring exhibition featuring the props and the costumes and more from the films. The exhibition will open at the Paris Expo Porte de Versailles on April 21st, 2023, and tickets are going to be going on sale early in 2023, so probably coming pretty soon. Mel, would you like to announce the next thing? Because this happened in slightly in your backyard.
Slightly. I actually somehow was not aware of this. Scientists from the University of Jyväskylä in Finland have discovered a new species of tardigrade that was found on Finnish sand dunes, and they have named it after one of the characters from The Wizarding World. According to the academic journal Zoological Studies, Macrobiotis nagini is the name of the newly discovered creature. And I included some pictures for Juliana in the doc. We should maybe post it because it's really, I think it's ticking all the boxes for Melanie when it comes to creatures. It looks absolutely weird and I love it. It's so cute.
It looks like it's wearing like a vacuum with legs, wearing a cargo pants like suit.
It looks like it's out of space.
It kind of reminds me of Ghostbusters. Maybe. Like those outfits they wear in Ghostbusters, except it's got a weird like suction head.
So I have definitely seen these pictures, but I was not aware that this was discovered in Jyväskylä in Finland, which is like a couple hours away from where I live.
I saw this on the news that I was looking through that was Harry Potter related, and I saw that it was discovered in Finland, and I said, this is going on the news.
It is definitely absolutely adorable. It has very tiny, strange-looking legs and...
Yeah, it's weird-looking. It's like poofy. It kind of looks like a pillow from the side.
Yeah, I would love to just hug it. It's so sweet.
I feel like if you try and hug this, Mel, you may or may not squish the poor little bee.
Yeah, it's so tiny.
Yeah, they're like microscopic, as far as I can tell. So, but yes, a Finland discovery. Huzzah! Well, our last little bit of news is just a follow-up update to last episode when we were a little bit skeptical as to when each of the platforms were getting Hogwarts Legacy. And just to confirm in, on February 10th, 2023, all these dates in 2023, PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC are getting the game.
Yay!
Yeah. April 4th, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And July 25th is Nintendo Switch. So there's a pretty big gap between when it's first available and when it's going to be available on Nintendo Switch, which will be interesting to see, because I'm surprised that they didn't put out like, besides like they actually had these Hogwarts themed controllers, but it was specifically for the Xbox XC. And I was like, I don't have that. They didn't have any other new packages that they put out or anything to promote the game, so I'm kind of interested to see, like, will there be like a push when the game comes out on the first date on the 10th of February? Will there also be a push for marketing on the other days too? I'm interested to see how this kind of pans out for the people. And I guess if you want to get it on Xbox XC, PC, or PlayStation 5, you can get like almost like 6 months of extra playing under your belt before the people on the Switch can even use it. So
I am glad to hear that it's including the PC version as well, because that's the one that I am going to get, so I will be able to play it possibly already in February. What was the one that you were shooting for?
I wanted to actually buy a Nintendo Switch if I could, just because I know for a fact that that's the gaming console that I would actually use beyond just playing Hogwarts Legacy on.
Yeah.
And like, I can play it on my computer, but I know this computer too well. It will crash. Like, it's not gonna... In theory, it can take it. In reality, it's not gonna happen. I'd have to buy an outside device. And all of the gaming devices, like the PlayStation, like the newer ones, are all in that like $300 to $400 like price range. They're all pretty similar in price. So for me, it would be like, can I find one at a discount? Listeners, if you're out there and you're trying to sell off a Nintendo Switch, DM me. Yeah, that's the one I was kind of looking for, because once I get it, if you included like Animal Crossing or something in the bundle that I got, I would totally play like Animal Crossing and like Mario Kart and like all these other games. So,
and Juliana would never be seen again.
No, probably not. No.
While she's running on her treadmill, she's playing and playing and playing.
I probably actually could. I can operate the remote on the TV while I'm running. I think I could probably do it.
Yeah.
Playing Hogwarts Legacy. Running through the forest. That'd be fun if I could, like, run through the forest on Hogwarts Legacy and then also be running on the treadmill and be like, yeah.
This is too real.
It's so real. I can warm my robes, too. Wow. Okay, this might turn into a full video.
All right, but now we have at least, like, very specific dates that we can look forward to, whichever kind of console, etc., any of us are going to choose. But at least we know now, and hopefully the dates are staying that way or are moved to an earlier date still, so we don't have to necessarily wait too long, and we can all join in together and play.
Yes.
But we still have a bit of feedback from our episode 69, which I so called the year of our sweet Lord Voldemort, because Juliana chose that in the last news that we were reading. So we have had some very cute comments from everyone from the last couple posts regarding to our year in review that we had, and I thought we could share some of them because they were very sweet. Do you want to take the first?
Oh, sure. So our first comment came from Eric of Woodthrush Wands. Go check out his wands on Instagram and on his Etsy shop. And he said, I'm so glad I found this podcast, both Mel and Juliana. Can't wait to see what 2023 brings for podcasts. And we say, thank you, Eric. It's been nice to work with you. And listeners, you would probably know Eric from his little ad insert that's been inserted into some of our episodes talking about his Woodthrush Wands wand shop. So go check him out if you haven't. Who do you have next, Mel?
Then we have Jenna. Jenna, you are everywhere.
Yes.
She has been writing, I don't normally listen to any podcasts, but Puffcast is the exception. Thank you for making so many fun episodes.
Aww.
That is just so sweet.
Yeah. I will say, I feel like it's a common thing, and maybe it's just my level of, like, low-key harassment, that, like... that people are like, I haven't listened to a podcast until Puffcast. And then they start listening to other podcasts. And I feel like Anu is kind of one of our people, too, who hadn't really listened to podcasts. I'm unsure if she has any other podcasts that she listens to currently. But Anu, we salute you. We thank you for all your support and everything. So thank you for listening as well. And then, okay, so our next one, we have Ryan, who said, love the Puffcast. Thanks for bringing joy to all of us. Love you, too. And we say, thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then our favorite David of all the Davids in the world is sending us a Happy New Year. And I have not said that yet. So people out there, Happy New Year. I hope Juliana didn't forget that at the beginning of the episode.
I think Jenna and I had a whole like Happy New Year back and forth, if I'm remembering correctly. So,
but here you have one from me too.
I did mention that it was the first episode of the year 2023 of our Sweet Lord Voldemort at the top of the episode as well too. So... just saying.
Okay, this is a recurring theme for the whole year now, I guess. So David says, Happy New Year. You guys are the best and I love you both. We love you right back.
Thank you, David. David's so sweet. He's such a cutie pie. Our last comment comes from Christy of the KR3D Fantastic Prints Etsy shop. She said, Puffcast is the only podcast I listen to. I like to listen to it when I'm painting or even feeling down. Your banter always elevates my mood.
And that's so nice. Is this really like, it really seems to be a common thing. I mean, I see this as a ginormous compliment that you guys are exclusively listening to only us. What?
Yeah. Again, I think I befriend these people, Mel, and then I just like, over time, like just kind of pressure them into listening to podcasts and they're like, fine. And then they're like, oh, I actually like this. I'm like, I told you you would like it.
All of you, I think there were probably a couple more. This was from a couple days ago when I added the comments and Juliana added the comments into the doc. If we haven't read your comment, I'm sorry, but we are reading them all and thank you so much for listening. And I hope that you all have a very happy 2023. Yeah, Juliana, we are at the end of our news and feedback.
Mm-hmm. So that calls for do-do-do-do-do-do. News. Okay, listeners, we're going to send you right back into the main portion of the episode with a conversation with Jenna and I. Say bye to Mel. Bye, Mel!
Bye! I'm going back to the sofa now and rest, and then in 2 days I'm going to celebrate my birthday.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because when this, I was like, your birthday's not tomorrow, but when this episode comes out, it is.
When this episode comes out.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I wrote your birthday down on my calendar. I know I just did. So wish Mel a happy birthday after or on her birthday, because she will not accept birthday messages before her birthday, because that's a weird German thing that she does.
It's bad luck.
Yeah, it's a European / German thing that I was not privy to, and I wish people early happy birthdays, and then I get shunned upon because I'm putting bad luck on their life, and I said, I didn't need to.
All right, guys, I will pop out again and we'll go back to Juliana and Jenna.
Okay, see you guys in a minute. Bye!
Salutations. I'm Jenna Greenwood, the artist and magical creature relocation specialist behind The Hidden Folk, where I create art dolls inspired by fantasy creatures from movies, TV, video games, and my own imagination. If you always wanted a pick-me-puff to sit on your shoulder just like Ginny Weasley, you've come to the right place. I craft a more immersive experience for my clients that are willing to play along by inviting them to leave the dreary everyday world and imagining, for a moment, they have stepped through the doorway of a strange little storefront where fantastical creatures are waiting to find their forever homes. You can find my adoption center at www.thehiddenfolk.com, and you can find me on Instagram at the Hidden Folk Studio for creature updates and silly shenanigans. I hope to see you soon.
Okay, well, welcome back, listeners. We are hoping that you enjoyed whatever was on the news this week. We're just going to dive deep into it, Jenna, and start with our interview with you. And I think our first question is what we like to ask a lot of people is, how did you get into Harry Potter and kind of what is your Harry Potter origin story?
Awesome. Okay. My Harry Potter origin story is in my high school, I was in an advanced art class. And my teacher, Mr. Kappen, was the amazing kind of human who would read to us while we did our work.
Ooh, okay. Live audiobook.
And he read Harry Potter to us, and it was just, oh my God, this is the world I'm supposed to be in. How do I get in there?
That's awesome.
And after that, I started reading the books on my own, and that was just home.
Oh, that's so nice. Do you remember, like, what it was that really just kind of clicked in your head with Harry Potter that made you feel like, oh my gosh, this is for me? Was there, like, a book or a moment that really just cemented it in for you?
I think I felt that more in Chamber of Secrets. For some reason, I'm not sure why. I think it had a lot to do with Harry's leaving his mundane, not so great existence and being taken into this world where people wanted him around. And it's like a new world just opened up in front of him. And I love that feeling.
The main reason a lot of us get into this fandom and why this fandom is such like a nice, accepting place is that a lot of people feel kind of the same way that you're describing, Jenna, where you're like, you don't know exactly where you belong. And then all of a sudden, through these books, you find a community that is just like accepting of who you are. And all of a sudden you have friends and you've been given permission to be like magical and like odd and like quirky.
To be you.
Yeah. I feel like all of us are Harry.
Yes.
At some point, we're all that little kid who has been slightly suppressed, at least in some capacity, for being like kind of not status quo.
Yes.
And then we meet our Hagrid, which for you is like your art teacher.
Mr. Kappen.
Yeah. And we're given permission to enter this world and it's magical and accepting of who we are. And all of a sudden we have friends.
Yeah.
That's the general vibe of the fandom. That's just Juliana's take on that. And I love that your teacher got to be your Hagrid for you.
It's like finding your way to the island of misfit toys. You found where you were supposed to go, and it's brilliant.
But why don't you tell the listeners what you're currently doing with your business and kind of how you transitioned from just someone who got involved through their art class in the Harry Potter books and become a fan to where you are right now with the really amazing art that you're making.
Thank you. So I think the way I got started is probably the same way a lot of people got started, is that I was on Etsy and there were things I wanted to buy, but they were very expensive.
Yes.
So I said, well, I can make that. And I did. And it wasn't too bad. So I made a couple other things. And then a friend of mine said, hey, you know, you could sell that. So I gave it a shot. And now we're here.
Yeah.
Right now, I am making 3 mandrake roots.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for the mandrakes.
I am too. I'm pretty excited about these guys. I'm attempting to make them posable and jointed so that you can take them out and hold them from their pot. So wish me luck.
Well, that's exciting. Now, what was the first creature that you made?
Oh, the first creature was actually a creature out of my head. It was a house brownie named Jeremiah.
What is a brownie?
A brownie is a type of fairy creature. They generally live in homes. If you are nice and not lazy and you leave a dish of cream out for them, then they'll help you do the housework.
Oh, I need one of these.
Right? But Jeremiah was a little different. He didn't want to live in anybody else's specific home. He was a trader, and so he had his little backpack of stuff, and he would visit other fairies and trade with what they might need. So I got to like make his little backpack and put random stuff in it. And he had another little creature to go with him that are, I called a giffer. They look somewhat like a dog, but they're also just kind of a gray-white color and very fuzzy. So this is what dust bunnies actually are. They're just very good at hiding from our sight. But if they felt safe with you, you would see that they actually look a little bit like a dog when they're not rolled in a ball. And they're very friendly and sweet.
That's so cute. I love that so much. I mean, one of the things that I love about you, Jenna, the most is like your level of imagination that you have around these creatures and around this world. I think it's so nice to see someone who is using their imagination to create like such amazing pieces of art, but also enabling other people to also kind of live this fantasy version and of life and just kind of get to be a kid again a little bit.
Thank you. Yeah, that is so important and imperative to me. I think that's one of the best parts about this community is I was suddenly allowed to talk about the things that I thought in my head. And I wasn't looked at like I might be mentally unsound.
Yeah, it gives you the permission to just like do the cosplay or make the creature and walk around with like a beast on your shoulder. And it's so nice to like, even when I haven't been to LeakyCon yet and I'm going to be going this summer. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited for you.
But like even just walking around at other events that I've been to that are Harry Potter themed, like if I'm walking around with a Niffler on my shoulder, people are like, wow, how cool. Did you make that? And like, that's the reactions instead of like the people giving you the side eye or being like, what the heck is going, what is that thing that you're holding in your hand?
I think that's one of the greatest things about reaching middle age as an adult. I'm a bit older than a lot of the people in the community that I know. But you get to this age and you just think, you know, screw it. I'm a witch from the wizarding world if I want to be. And I'm going to dress how I want. And if I want to wear the Victorian outfit today, I will.
Yes. Yeah. And you have a history of theater, correct, Jenna? And also
I do.
Performing.
Yes.
Do you want to speak about that?
Sure. I ran a Renaissance Fair Acting Guild for about 10 years. I was the guild leader, and we were called the Shadow Walkers, so we were the villains of the fairs. We were your assassins and thieves.
That's fun.
I loved it, and we basically had our setup, our what you would call the pavilion, they look like the big tents, to look like a tavern. So we had tables, we had gambling. It was just so much fun.
And you said, you told me before that you had a character that you played. Do you want to talk about the character that you created for this world and like kind of maybe how that enabled you a little bit to step outside your comfort zone possibly?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That was like therapeutic. So Lana Lysmith was my character. She was the leader of this band of villains. And so you could naturally guess she is not a very nice person. She doesn't let anybody cross her or talk back to her. And whereas actual Jenna is rather shy and non-aggressive and very worried about if she's being kind to people. When I got to play Lana, I got to be very assertive and I got to take no fill in the blank.
Yeah. You can tell people to shove it in their cauldron and stir it. That's what I like to do.
I love that. Yes, that's what I was able to do. I was able to tell people to shove it in their cauldron and stir it.
Stir it.
I love that.
Especially among Hufflepuffs, like, we are very conscious of how we treat people, and it but we are also the people, we love to play the villain. We love to like play the villain in like an acting capacity because we're given permission to be, and we're told essentially to be the evil person, and that's what people are expecting out of us. And you get positive feedback from other people when you're like the evilest, and there's no repercussions because they're you're playing a character, you're not playing yourself.
Well, I think it's completely human for us to have the full spectrum of emotions. So even though we're very conscious of how we treat people and we are very in control of how our words and actions affect others, we still have those feelings. We still think in our head the thing we wish we could be saying.
Oh, yeah. I have a mean little monster that lives inside my brain. Don't worry. It's there.
Oh, my head Karen is not a good person.
Oh, I like that head Karen. Yeah, that's a good one.
But when you are playing the villain, especially in the capacity I got to with Lana Lysmith, where it is just all constant improv all the time, you get to take all of those words and feelings that you've been storing in your head, and now you get to use them.
Yeah, and that can be really powerful.
Powerful, therapeutic, just so good.
Yeah, I mean, I know when I was in high school, as everyone knows, Juliana played the witch in Into the Woods in high school. It's not a mystery. But that was the period where I actually went through my first actual, like, clinically diagnosable depression from now that I think back on it. And the thing that got me out of it was being able to play this evil character and let my emotions that I was feeling inside out on the stage in a way that was productive and got positive reactions from people. And also in a supported place, too, because I really loved the cast that I was with. And, I mean, that's one of the things you get, too, from being in theater productions, is the cast becomes your family, essentially.
Well, you bring up expressing your emotions, and that brings me to, I played Blanche DuBois in Streetcar Named Desire, and there's a moment where she has this complete tantrum where she is crying and calling people names and screaming and just being the most overdramatic in the world.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved it so much.
It's so cathartic.
It is.
To be like, today I get to do this scene and I am going to just like let out all my emotions. You don't realize it half the time too, but you let out all these other emotions that you're feeling inside your soul.
Yes.
Because, I mean, as an actor, we are informed by the experiences that we have, and that when I'm acting, if I want to feel a certain way, like I think I have a memory that I pull on for each specific feeling that I want to invoke across my face and my body language. And so like I will have, like, if I want to cry, I'll probably think of my dog Elaine passing away, or I'll think of something else that like really just like rocks me to my core. Or if I want to be happy, I would honestly probably think of like when Juliana stepped on for her applause for Into the Woods as with the Witch.
Hey, that's your Patronus memory. It's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of my top ones. I just remember like being outside my body when that happened. Like, it was just that exciting for me.
Well, live theater is a creature that is unlike anything else, because we as a group of humans get to come together and we can experience each other's energy and share in it in a way that doesn't happen anywhere else. If a horrible death or something absolutely tragic has happened on stage, cue the end of Hamilton. Everybody in that room is crying and going through it. And so you're going through it, but with a bunch of people, you feel kind of held in a way by everybody near you. And it's amazing.
You and I could go off for like hours about
we really could. About Juliana, we have.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of already happened. It will continue to happen, because I, as you do, Jenna, have many emotions, feelings, and lots of love towards live theater.
That's correct.
But I think in that vein, too, I feel like through the Harry Potter community and through like your creation of beasts, there is like largely that theater element to it, whether it be like you cosplay, you wear a shirt that there are a scarf or something that reminds you of the movies or the books, or you carry around one of your beasts, or you're one of the participants like yourself, Jenna, who like creates things that belong in this world. But it does bring that element of theater and that element of being able to just kind of transport ourselves into the world that we love so much, and give ourselves permission and gives the others around us permission to say, hey, I'm at this convention right now, or I'm out in public right now, and I am going to just kind of pretend for a minute.
Yes.
As little kids, we run around and we're like, I'm an airplane, beep, 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 beep. And you're like out in the villain, you're like in the mall and just like pretending you're an airplane. And people are like, oh, how cute, that little girl thinks she's an airplane. If I was to do that as an adult, people would be like, this person is truly a mental insane person. Like, someone hook them up to like an IV in an ambulance and we'll get them out of here.
Yeah, somebody might be making a phone call.
Yeah, if I like ran through the mall, I was like, airplane time! I mean, would I not do that? I think I would definitely do that. Like, let's be real here. If someone was like, Juliana, I'll give you $5 if you run down the mall like an airplane, I'd be like, okay, cool, bye, see you in 5 minutes with the $5. At this point, I could see myself doing that, but it's hard to get to that point too, though, where you have like any kind of level of confidence in your ability to give yourself permission, I think, to just have fun as an adult.
It is hard as an adult. Well, it's as hard as you make it, because it got to a point when I started Hidden Folk where I was much more focused on what I thought people would want. And then I decided to do something wild and crazy, like to only make creatures that I want and to present things like I want. And then that grew into a situation where if I had somebody that was either purchasing a creature from me on Etsy or live at Wizarding Weekend here in Portland, Oregon, then if they're willing at all to play pretend with me, then we're going all the way. And they are actually adopting a magical creature from a magical creature rescue agency.
And I love that. It's good that you're coming in, you're kind of assessing where people are in their journey of like, and their ability and willingness to participate in.
Oh, yeah.
Like for my mom, like she is someone who like... Even when we go to concerts, like we went to see this band called AJR, and I'm the person who I'm like vibing out. I'm like, yeah, I'm like doing like my white girl dance moves, but I'm like really feeling the music and I'm like singing and everyone else is like just like vibing out, you know? And she just sits there, not really, she's just sitting in her seat with her arms folded. And I'm like, okay, so this is the level that we're working with right now. But that's her comfort level. And that like my comfort level is to be like vibing out, but it's taken me a long time to get to that point too, where I feel like, yeah, like if you had taken me to a concert like a year or 2 years ago, I probably would have been doing the same thing, because that's I feel like our baseline comfort level for the most part, unless we grow up in an extraordinary family, is to kind of be a little bit on the more like I don't want to embarrass myself in public side of things, generally speaking,
following the social norms and the social rules that our pack of people have decided on. Yeah, you just have to kind of get to a point of bravery where you decide that you don't care what other people think of how you're going to act and how you're going to be, because the people that you're supposed to be with will think it's cool. I think that the person who's at a concert, like you described with your mom, who's just kind of sitting there and is there, they're only breathing. They're not living.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. It's like, you want to take in the full experience of everything, and you want to be able to just say, I guess, kind of live it, like live in the, I always think of the guy who has the tattoo on him that says no regrets. you want to think back at the end of your day and be like, yeah, like I lived as much as I could. That doesn't mean you did everything in the entire day. And there could have been things where you're like, wow, I wish I could have done that. But not in a way where you're like, I regret that I did that. It's like in a way, like I only had like 6 hours today, but I did like all these cool things and I was present for all of them. And so that's great. And like physically, you just couldn't fit in those extra things that you wanted to do, like timeline wise. But like the things that you were able to experience, you like you full on took an in through all your senses, and you let that experience kind of like over you. I mean, I'm thinking back to like even like a month ago when I was with Jeff and we were at Wizard Fest. Like I have never seen live Wizard Rock before, and it's something like growing up that my family would have been like, that's so weird. Why are you listening to that? Like, that is the weirdest crap I've ever heard in my life. Why are they singing about wizard stuff? But I just like, I just like took in the experience. I sat in the front row and I was just like vibing out, you know? And I was just like cheering Jeff on and really just loving it. And I was like, yeah, this is fun. Like, I like this. But listeners, if you like to listen to Jeff, he's at Dream Quaffle on Bandcamp. Go hit him up.
And you should.
Yeah, he's very talented. But I think what I'd like to hear from you, Jenna, is like how you making creatures and this level of performance kind of connected and it bridged the gap for you between playing pretend per se in like the nicest way possible, like acting.
Yeah.
And then also your Etsy shop. Now you've kind of fused those things together a little bit. Do you want to talk about what your goals are with that per se and like how that has impacted you and any like really great experiences or cute interactions that you've had through that?
Oh, yeah. So like I said, I will engage as a wizard as comfortably as my client is willing to go. So when somebody adopts a creature from my shop, I will respond to them and ask, well, what name do you want to give your creature?
Ochberg Mahogany the Third.
That's right. If they give me a name, I know they want to play.
That's a good gauge.
Yeah. So that means, okay, I get to do this. And I write up an adoption form for each creature that has notes on like how to take care of them, what not to do, My favorite is when I get the chance to sell in public, or what I call an in-person adoption event, because then I get to look face to face with the people who are interacting with my creatures. And the very best thing in the world is when kids come over to my booth.
Aww.
I had a couple of the manacore, which are really called fire butt crabs, but the movie calls them manacore.
Anyone who's a listener of podcasts knows that we do not call them the manticore. We call them the fire butt crab.
It is what it is. So I had three on my table, and as soon as some kids would get there and see it, they would immediately drop down into the dance pose, and their parents would be standing there like, what's wrong with my child?
They're like, I'm doing the fire butt crab dance.
Yeah. And I'm like, yes, actually, you've got it. You were prepared to adopt this creature. You have your credentials. Mm-hmm. My favorite, though, is when she couldn't have been more than like 9 years old. And she adopted one of my pygmy puffs. Uh-huh. And then she came back several hours later because her family was ready to go home. And she took her pygmy puff and had it kiss goodbye all the other creatures that were on the table.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Moments like that, that's why I want to do this.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just so inspiring too. I feel like to see like little kids having that level of investment in the world that's being created by the creatures that you're making. It reminds us of being a kid, I feel like. And it reminds me of like, yeah, I used to love playing pretend.
Yeah.
You give me like a small creature, like it will have a name by the end. It has to have a name.
Yep.
Like, everything has a personality and a name. It's just that level of imagination that is so amenable of little kids that it must be so refreshing to see in person.
Absolutely. And it's even more so when you get an adult who will also play back with you with that same amount of excitement. When you see an adult looking at you and they're not just smiling with their mouth, they're smiling in with their eyes and their soul, and they're right mm-hmm. there with you. And you guys are in the wizarding world together, even if it's just for a couple of minutes, it's happening. And it mm-hmm. has an effect on your feelings and your emotions. And in my opinion, your well-being.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost infectious. Even the people who don't really want to socially approve of things, they see other people like living out their passions and living out their fantasies. And I feel like this is something that in a positive way, TikTok has actually played into.
Oh, absolutely.
Is like the rise of being able to play pretend, being able to just be in for the gag, be in for the whatever the shtick is that's going on, and just playing it as a character. Because you can get so far. And I mean, one of the easiest ways to tell, like, if you're in a, like, especially I'm thinking like in theme parks too, is how people interact with the characters that are walking around theme parks. That's a really interesting character study to do on your family next time you go to Disney World. Because you'll notice, like, some people are, like, they're full on in. They're like, oh, it's Jasmine. You watch the little kids. They think it's the person. For the most part, like, 99% mm-hmm. of them, they're like, oh my God, it's Jasmine and Aladdin. Also, the adults are like, eh, whatever. And the people like us, Jenna, we would probably walk off to be like, oh my gosh, Jasmine, I love your dress. Like, you look so beautiful today. Have you seen Abu today? And like asking questions like in regards to the character. And I always tell people too, and I explained this to Mel when we were at Moomin Valley, it's like not understanding how I was able to easily interact with these characters and wasn't it kind of like nerve-wracking. I was like, well, actually, from someone who's been like in a character performing standpoint, it's harder to interact with people when they don't want to interact with you as the character.
Oh, so much.
Yeah, you're like mentally prepared to be like Jasmine and you're like in that headspace, and then some adult walks up and is like, oh, you must be like Bethany when you're not Jasmine or something. It says something like stupid and that takes you out of character. And it's so much more fun as the character actor to have someone walk up to you and be like, have you seen Abu today? And you'd be like, no, I haven't seen, and like be able to like play it off like the character. It's so much more fun.
That's the fun of improv for me, is because yeah. you're not saying lines. You are supposed to be that character, and uh-huh. you should be prepared to answer any question anybody gives you. Yeah, so it's kind of a challenge of, are you ready to mm-hmm. handle anything?
Yeah, and I really love that you are able to use your creatures and your art form, your own acting ability, to lend others that little golden baton of, hey, it's okay if you play pretend with me right now. We're wizards. We're wizards.
We are wizards. Well, I think that I don't know this for sure, obviously, and I'm never going to say all humans, mm-hmm. but I will say that I believe that most humans, deep down inside, never lose that part of themselves. They never lose the childhood magic of playing pretend. That doesn't go away. We just feel we have to let it go at a certain age because that's what adults do. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that is not a hard and fast rule. It is not a law. You can break that. And if you want to do it, you can. And it turns out, in my opinion, that letting that child part out every once in a while and allowing yourself to pretend that you are, in fact, in the wizarding world when you're walking down Diagon Alley at Universal Studios, you can't tell me that doesn't help your mental well-being. You can't tell me that doesn't make you feel good.
Yeah, you're transported there. And mm-hmm. I love it so much. I feel that really deep in my heart is that, like, for my transition from, like, high school to, like, now, I've definitely unleashed that inner child a lot more. And I just feel, like, so much more whole as a human being when I'm able to, because your childhood is part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we like to acknowledge it or not, we went through those years and we grew up, and some people might have traumatic experiences from there. But even if you have some trauma, you probably have at least a few happy memories that you want to pull back on. And being able to just kind of access those and maybe even create some new, like, childhood memories for yourself. I mean, one of my goals, I think, if I ever have more money, is to buy, like, the toys that I never got to have when I was a kid because they were too expensive.
You've got the secret to enjoying your life and really living your life is allowing yourself to do that, especially if you're a person that did not have a good childhood, that had some trauma in your formative years. Think about this for a second. You're an adult now. You can choose to do anything you want. And not only that, you have adult money.
Yes.
Live your childhood again, you know, responsibly.
Yeah. If you have those negative feelings towards your childhood for certain things where you feel like you missed out on things,
mm-hmm.
you're probably going to carry that until you die, unless you do something about it. And I feel like this is a good way to, like, possibly resolve some of those interior gripes you have. But now you can do it as an adult. And I feel like it just puts you in a better spot mentally to be able to resolve those inner conflicts that you have. Okay, I understand, like, logistically speaking, why that didn't happen while I was a child, but that doesn't mean it can't happen now.
That's right.
Go for it. Like, go live your life and enjoy whatever it is you wanted to do as a kid.
Mm-hmm. This rule about reaching adulthood and what that means and how we're supposed to dress, act, and interact, it's all fake. You don't have to follow that.
Yeah. And that, I think that just comes down to believing that magic exists by creating little beasties for people. You can make magic in other people's lives by doing, like, small little things like that and giving them the permission to just, like, embrace their inner child and be who they want to be and just use their imagination.
When I'm selling in person, I have a big faux tree that I set up by the table, and that's what I attach all the bow truckles in. And watching an adult smiling with their full being, looking through the tree to spot the bow truckles, that's magic.
Yeah.
That's casting a spell of happy on that person.
Which I think is something that's really important, and it's hard, unless you're going to Disney World, a lot of the time, it's kind of hard to even think about the concept because it's just not something that our society really pushes on people. It's like work, 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 work. And it's not like, hey, let's take a moment to just, like, have fun and, like, be creative and enjoy something.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great that you're doing that through your artwork too, Jenna. I think that that's really wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I can speak from experience. Jenna's pieces of artwork are, like, literally movie prop quality. Like, I got her bow truckle in the mail and I was like, if you told me that this came from a movie set, I would not second guess you.
Oh man, that feels so good.
They're so well made. Like, it's like, they're gorgeous. Like, just the painting and the shape and everything. I can see exactly why they chose you for the Hogwarts at Play exhibit in Chicago, is because they are movie prop quality. Like, they look like someone from the movies made them and put them on the set. They're so good.
Oh man, whenever I hear you talk about how good you think my work is, it makes me want to just make all the things right now.
Everyone knows I'm an awful liar. I'm a terrible liar. I cannot lie. And I'm very blunt when it comes to a lot of things. So yeah, I mean, that's just how I feel about your work. I think it's absolutely gorgeous. And I think a lot of it too is the love and care that you put into the creatures that you're making. Like, everyone has a little personality to them. Each of your bull trickles has a different pose and a different personality and a different, like, vibe that it's giving off.
With the bow truckles especially, I have no idea what they're going to look like when I start. I have no idea what their personality is. That happens while I'm sculpting. They tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got done with yours, I've never really made a feminine-looking bow truckle before, but There was so much sass and sway in the bow truckle hips.
He's got a little bum bum.
Yeah, that I was like, oh no, this has to go to Juliana. She's the only one who will understand and appreciate it properly.
Yeah, there's just like a swag that this bow truckle has walking down that catwalk.
She slays.
Yes, she does slay really hard. But that's something too that I really love about your work again, Jenna. It's just like you let the artwork speak to you and you let it kind of dictate what the personality of it is. And it's interesting too because we've talked to a lot of our wand makers too, and they are a lot of them, they get a piece of wood and they just kind of let it speak to them.
Yeah.
Let it kind of tell them how it wants to be carved, which I feel like is the same energy you're putting out about like your creatures. You just kind of let it, the materials tell you, this is what I'm going to become.
Yeah, exactly.
It brings even more of that, like, spirit into what you're doing, and that love, and that general vibe of, like, I guess love. I think that's what I'm trying to think of another word, but I
can't. Connection.
Yeah, connection and just authenticity, maybe, that comes from them and makes your creatures alive in a way. Because you can buy little pre-made bow truckles from Noble Collection or from Warner Brothers, and they all pretty much look the same, and some of them have some like weird imperfections, which I actually like the ones with imperfections because I feel like that actually gives them a personality as opposed to all the ones that are like super cookie cutter and they all look exactly the same, but they're just like missing. They just feel, you put it in your hands and they feel devoid of something. Like there's something that's just like awry, but you put like one of your creatures in your hands and you're like, aha, I have a whole personality right here. And it just feels like it feels full, and it feels like it's embodying the Wizarding World. You feel like you have a piece of the Wizarding World as opposed to like a souvenir from the Wizarding World. Like you are part of it as opposed to just being an observer.
You can't even understand how much that means to me, because that is the ultimate goal of every creature I make, is for the person who adopts it to look at it and feel like there's life there. To just for a second believe, well, maybe this is a real Niffler. Maybe this is a real Pygmy Puff.
Yeah. Well, I think you do a really great job of that.
Thank you.
So what we're going to do is we're going to play Hagrid's Hut. Blimey, what's he hiding in there? This time, Jenna is going to be choosing a creature from the Fantastic Beasts book, and she will be giving me the description along with the X rating, so that way I can guess and see if I can guess what Hagrid is hiding in his hut today. So Jenna, take it away when you're ready.
The Ministry of Magic classification for this creature is XXX, so I hope that Hagrid is taking some safety precautions and has his earplugs.
Oh gosh, okay.
This creature is an African bird with extremely vivid plumage. They may be orange, pink, lime green, or yellow. This creature has long been a provider of fancy quills and also lays brilliantly patterned eggs. Though at first enjoyable, their song will eventually drive the listener to insanity, and the creature is consistently sold with a silencing charm on it, which will need monthly reinforcement. This creature's owners require licenses, as this creature must be handled responsibly.
Okay, so I only have two birds that are popping up my head right now that I know are magical birds. I have the phoenix or the augury. Those are the only two that I can think of off the top of my head. I think I'm going to go with the phoenix, because the augury, I know in the book at least, has some mention of like people thinking that its voice means death, but that's not actually what it means.
It's a bad omen.
Yeah, it means that a storm is coming. It means that the weather is just going to change.
Terribly misunderstood creatures, auguries.
And the cursed child doesn't really do it too much of a favor, but I will say the new one part version kind of makes it a little bit better, I would say, for the augury, just because it's Delphi's kind of like a little bit more removed from the storyline.
I mean, I got a really excited, happy when they mentioned the augury, just because it's a creature. So
yeah,
but we could talk cursed child for forever too. Okay, it is not a phoenix.
Okay.
It is not an augury. It is
meh. Oh, I should have known that. Oh gosh. Okay. I know what meh looks like too. I could have. Okay. Yeah. This is totally just a brain fart on my head.
I love them.
Hello. Since Juliana was unable to guess the creature correctly, we sent this week's Hagrid's Hut over to you, listeners. I'm sure you all got it straight away. So send us your answers and we will give you a shout out on the show.
Okay. Well, listeners, let us know if you got that right. And we'll just hand it on over to Miss Buttercup for her question of the week.
Happy New Year, my friends. This week, I got two questions for you. First, what are your New Year's resolutions? Tell us all about them. Second, what kind of creatures would you love to see created by Jenna next? Send us your answers, as always, via our socials or send us an email at puffcastpod@gmail.com.
Well, Jenna, thank you so much for joining me for this interview today.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun. I love to chat with magical creatures with anybody who will talk to me.
Yes, and I like to talk to anyone who will talk to me or listen to me. So, so that is that. But Jenna, would you like to let the listeners know where they can find you and your art so that way they can go and possibly purchase and adopt a little creature for themselves?
Absolutely, because we don't purchase creatures from the Hidden Folk. We adopt them.
We adopt, yes. I know, I need to change my... I'm working with so many people who are vegans now, too. I'm trying to, like, change my vocabulary to, like, no, it's not like a pet. It's like a companion. So, things like that.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can find my adoption center on Etsy at www.thehiddenfolk.com. And you can find me on Instagram at Hidden Folk Studio. Come find me. Let's talk animals.
Yes. Do you have any events that you're going to anytime soon? Any in-person events that you're going
to
be at?
I do. I get to go to a in-person adoption event at the end of July here in Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. We have Wizarding Weekend at McMiniman's Kennedy School, and it is the funnest event.
Yes. Okay. So if you live in the Portland, Oregon area, definitely go check Jenna out in the summer. Show us the lovely creatures that you've adopted when that rolls around. We'd love to see anyone who's adopted a creature from Jenna.
Okay. Anybody who's already adopted a creature from me, please, I absolutely love photos of them happy in their new homes. It just makes me so happy to see that. So please send them.
Well, Jenna, thank you again for joining us. This has been very nice.
It's been great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And listeners, if you would like to get in contact with us over here on Puffcast, you can listen to us on all platforms where podcasts are found. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PuffcastPod. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Puffcast. And we also have an email account where you can email us some lovely feedback or even email us, hey, I'd like to get the contact information for Jenna, and we will send it back to you. That email is puffcastpod@gmail.com. You can also support us like Jenna does over on Patreon for as little as $2 a month, and at least $1 of your donation every month goes to charity. And thank you to our patrons and also to David of Crooked Wands for helping us donate, because he, in addition to our patrons, is helping donate 25% of his Etsy sales every single month to our charity of choice. And you can find him at David@crooked_wands on Instagram. And like I said, patreon.com/puffcast. If you'd like to join us and be a patron, you can also get our Puffcast shirt on Bonfire. Just go to bonfire.com and search Puffcast in the search bar. And if you'd like to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, we would love to see it and love to read it. We have not gotten any new reviews recently, but if you do write us a review, I will send you a sticker and whatever the heck else is sitting around in my apartment that I would like to get rid of. Okay, and until next time, stay puffy
and badger on.